Blog Talk Radio. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to The Labrish. This is Margaret Marshall, your host, and I want to welcome you to Backyard Labrish on Blog Talk Radio, and thank you for being our guest. I'd like to welcome the listeners online as well as those listening on their computers and those calling in. Now, as you know, this evening is very somber, because we're actually saddened by the passing of two of our very important and famous people. But tonight we are celebrating their lives, because that's what we do on Blog Talk Radio, Backyard Labrish. We just love to celebrate, enlighten, and preserve the rich culture of Jamaica. And we have so much to celebrate about both of these sons of Jamaica. And last week we got a call from one of our past guests, Phyllis Broom, who's an enamelist that lives in Toronto. As a matter of fact, she's an award-winning enamelist. And for those of you who might not know about her, we interviewed her on the show, so if you just research, you'll find her somewhere in our archives. But she brought to our attention at that time that not only did we lose our beloved Rex Dettelford, but also Albert Huey. Now, at the time she mentioned, I did not really know that much about him, because I'm sure, like a lot of the people in the diaspora in my age group, when I came here, I suppose, long before the independence, you know, most of the people that became famous there were just sort of coming into their own. And since I'm retired, like a lot of the other people in the diaspora, we now have time to reflect, research, celebrate, and preserve. So I want to thank all the listeners on the line tonight, and to always remind you that this is a Labrish. It's not a formal, you know, broadcast. So whenever you want to interact with me, please just hit 1 on your keyboard, and I'll be happy to open up the mic, so you can let the world know who you are and what your comment is. So please feel free to raise your hand. So first I'd like to talk a little bit about Albert Huey. And perhaps some of the listeners online might know of him, but I knew of his art, but not a lot about his personal life or where he came from. But I thought it was really ironic that both of these gentlemen are from Trelawney, As a matter of fact, Huey was born in Falmouth, Trelawney, on December 31st in 1920, and he moved to Kingston when he was 16 years old, and his talent quickly captured the attention of key figures in the early Jamaican art movement, such as H. DeVays Molesworth, the then secretary of the Institute of Jamaica, and also Edna Manley. Now, he received formal training in art at the Ontario College of Art in Toronto, Canada, and also in London. Now, Huey quickly became a major figure in Jamaican art, and his work has gained significant local and international acclaim. His paintings and prints are represented in many private, corporate, and public collections, including the National Gallery of Jamaica, where several of his major paintings, such as Crop Time, which was 1955, I suppose he did that, are on permanent view. Now, he passed away on the 1st of February, and I just thought it was so ironic that both of the gentlemen that passed away, you know, this month were from Trelawney. Now, Huey was residing in Baltimore, Maryland at the time, which happens to be quite close to where Professor Nettleford was at the time. Now, back to Huey. I wanted to read a little bit about the review, the art review about him. So in case any of the listeners are not too familiar, because I saw so many similarities to their, you know, early lives, which I think is important, because as a senior citizen, I know one of my passions is for children and really early childhood education. Because from my own personal experience, I can tell our listeners that I took, although my children were born here in the United States, I took my children home to Jamaica to get their early education in 1970 when my daughter was born, because I knew that the basic education or the first school education in Jamaica, in my estimation, was superior to what was being taught here. So my children got the first 3 years, my boys at least, of their training in Jamaica, which provided a wonderful foundation for them. But listen to this. Now, Albert Huey claims, this is an artist review that I'm reading. Albert Huey claims he was born to be an artist, painting from as far back as he can remember. His mother and grandmother, who raised him, worried about his strange, reserved personality and the fact that he spent so much time observing nature or questioning his station in life. Brought up in a strong, conservative setting that emphasized discipline and religion, Huey was not only encouraged to ponder on the fact that his father, then living in Cuba, had named him Alfonso after the then Cuban president. In fact, his grandmother insisted that he be called by his third name, Albert, after Prince Albert, husband of Queen Victoria. Despite Huey's earliest scratches on the pantry wall at home, it was not until his teens that he would find an environment that would sustain his social awareness and creative abilities. Now, you're going to find so much, at least I found so much similarities in the early upbringing of both of these men, which when I get to Professor Nettleford, you will see he was so passionate about creativity and excellence. Now, remember now that this Albert was brought up by his mother and grandmother with conservative values, all important to strong personalities, in my opinion. Now I go back to the review. In 1934, Huey visited Kingston for the first time. Still a youth, he took a keen interest in the pending general election, the political discussions at his cousin's tailoring establishment on Tower Street, the Sunday meetings at Parade held by Sir William Grant, as well as the Christmas morning concert. In fact, it was the concert that inspired his first real painting of people in their fineries entitled The Dance. Now, I'm saying that to say that's exactly what some of the things that Professor Nettleford was passionate about, you know, exposing children to cultural activities. And, you know, he even mentioned that in his talk, which I'm going to be reading some of his excerpts from what the talk he gave when he came up to the special event that I was able to interview him from. So it's just ironic to me that the similarities of the passion of these people and the background. Now I'm back to the review. Remember, this is a library, so we're not formal. And I'm looking for hands there if anybody wants to interact. Now, in 1936, just a year after I was born, Huey returned to Kingston to work. He lived by his hands, decorating glass and chinaware with enamel designs. Now I know why our past guest was so enthralled by him, because she's an enamelist. Now, this enabled him to buy his own paint and pursue his own art in earnest. In 1937, Huey met H.D. Molesworth, the secretary librarian of the Institute of Jamaica, who, still new to his appointment, was energized by Jamaica and keen to encourage local talent. I think he was an Englishman. Now, Molesworth was the first person to give value to Huey's work, assisting him with his first sale. Oh, that's interesting. Molesworth also introduced Huey to Edna Manley, and it was under her tutelage that he became involved in the free Saturday morning art classes held at the Institute's Junior Center. There, Huey joined a young band of artists, expatriates and locals, exchanging skills and ideas, unified by national concerns. This growing sense of Jamaican identity was made manifest in the period by the conscious depiction of the black Jamaicans, scenes of Jamaica, and beautiful landscape, interest in Jamaican's landscape. Huey's passion for the depiction of Jamaica has remained consistent over the years. If there's been any criticism of his work, is that it still remains within the same conservative vein. His style of painting has also changed little. After winning a British Council scholarship in 1947 to study in London, he adopted impressionist techniques of capturing Jamaican light and form that have become distinctive. So he was known really to be truly capturing Jamaica as it was. And I'm telling you that there has been several things written up about him. But I just wanted to tell you that he also represented Jamaica at the World's Fair in 1938, where he won several prizes, mostly for his landscapes. Now, once I start reading about Professor Nettlefold's early childhood, I realized there were so many similarities. And I know personally that when I was growing up, it was not just the parent, the mother or the father. It was an extended family, grandmothers, you know, neighbors, aunts, just a village. And Professor Nettlefold was so passionate about that, even in the speech that he gave, which I'm going to be reading excerpts from. So I want to just express my feeling, you know, as a senior, that I just believe that we have to encourage, you know, the parents of young children, that, you know, it's so important because the children are the future of the world. And if we as individuals want to leave a legacy, we might not be as famous as any of these people, but the legacy that we can leave is investment in our children, whether they're our children or not, children of the world, and as Jamaicans, especially children of Jamaicans here or Jamaicans there, because that is how our culture will be preserved. So now I am going to ask, I know that my loyal listener from the Bronx is on, and I would like to see a raised hand. So again, I want to remind our listeners that you're listening to Backyard Labrish on Blog Talk Radio. We're here each week on a Wednesday where we just chill in the backyard. We imagine we're out of the cold because it's freezing in my city today. And we're under our favorite fruit tree in Jamaica, and the trade winds are gently blowing across our face. And we're perhaps sucking on the mango or whatever is in season now. So we'll just chill for a moment. I'm waiting for a hand. Are you there, Mr. Nunes from the Bronx? I guess not. Well, I want to welcome listeners from 631-973-516 and the Skypers in, the 111s, and thank you for being here with me. We had a little problem in our city, at least in my neighborhood, in my city tonight, where we were sort of down for a minute, well, more than a minute, but I'm glad to be up to be able to bring this broadcast to you. I'm saying that to say that we were out of electricity for a minute, so things are a little twittering now, not in the real Twitter sense. But anyway, I would like to mention here now that the Labrish had a Backyard Labrish had a unique opportunity, or I had, to have a conversation with Professor Nettlefold in September of last year. He was actually here for a fundraiser that was put on by the Benevolent Missions of Atlanta, and they are passionate about early childhood education. And he was so committed that it was during the time when his mother was quite ill in New York, but he was here for a very short time. But, you know, he was more than happy to support the cause. And that tells you how much he was passionate about the importance of education. And not only just education, but excellence. I'm going to be reading a couple of his quotes and also what other people had to say about him. And I'm sure that someone will put together one, you know, some of his quotes that were so unique and pointed, and also expressed his passion, you know, so well, so very, very well. So now let me tell you a little bit about what I found about his early life and the fact that he was born in Bunker Hill, Trelawney. And I must confess to my listeners that, you know, I'm a Kingstonian, born under the clock, and really only went to Westmoreland, Savlemar, at least once or twice a year. And during my growing up in Jamaica, I never even went as far as Montego Bay. I only went to Negril, which was where we would swim along, you know, the coast there, but never even went to Montego Bay. So I was not quite familiar with other parts of the island, and I've learned so much by researching the different parishes. One last year, sometimes we did a tour of the parish, discovering Jamaica one parish at a time, and it was just very interesting to me. And I wanted to remind our listeners that the whole object of this show is to have a living legacy of some of the things that we didn't learn in school, and this is just an easy format for people to come, and I'm hoping that more listeners will interact and leave their voices, leave their opinions, because I was able to capture Professor Nettlefer's voice. I actually was not in the same room with him when we spoke, but it was as if I was in the same room with him. I had the pleasure of meeting him the next day at the event, but it, you know, just hearing his voice again just brought me a lot of pleasure. And if you're on my mailing list, I did send out the a link to that particular conversation that we had. And he was just such a warm and wonderful and eloquent individual, and yet so humble. He was quite humble, and it was just a joy, just a joy. You know, I'm not a professional hostess. I'm not, you know, I wasn't schooled in journalism. I am just winging it, as I always tell my listeners. I'm doing this because I have a passion for my culture, and I wanted to leave something that my grandchildren, a medium that they would use if they wanted to find out a little bit about how I grew up, because my children were born here, and I have three grandsons that are quite young that are already on the computer, and I'm sure by the time they're grown, you know, I won't be around. And it would be good to know that they could know something about how I grew up, and also to just hear my voice explaining any of my thoughts. So I would invite my listeners online, if you want to just leave your voice with us here so the world can hear. You know, you don't have to tell us anything about your personal life if you don't want to, but we'd love to have you just raise your hands so I can welcome you to the world. So let's talk about Professor Rex, as I like to call him now, who was also born in Trelawney. And I want to just start off by saying what there have been so much written about him. You know, it would take hours to really go over everything. But when I introduced him the last time, the time that we spoke in September, I had gone online and found several people that had interviewed him, some of his past students, or just some people that were inspired by him. And I remember reading, you know, how most of the people that wrote just had such warmth. They felt, they could feel him. Not only did he inspire them, but, you know, he is a person that when he talks and when you're in his presence, you just feel him. You know that he's genuine and he comes from the heart. So I want to tell you that he too talked about, you know, being raised, but not only just by his mother, but his grandmother. And I'm saying that to say how important it is for seniors to be involved in the children's lives, you know, in whatever way you can, because it is important. You know, they need to be supported. I hope if you are involved that you can provide some foundation for them. And because all of these great people from Jamaica talk about, you know, coming up with support, not just their mother or their father, but extended family being part of their support. So I want to encourage that. And it doesn't have to be your children that you encourage and support, you know, because you can do that even by being involved as a volunteer, because that is also quite welcomed by all the organizations that are trying to do something. And there are several of them all over. I know of two here in Atlanta that we feature on Backyard Labridge whenever we can or whenever they are having something that they would like to be publicized. So Professor Nettleford came up here in September to support the work being done by the Benevolent Missions of Atlanta. And they are really involved in early childhood education. And I want to read you some excerpts from the speech that he gave on the 13th. And I just have a sideline to say that being a mother myself, and I lost a son when he was quite young. However, I thought about the fact that, you know, he was able to come up, although he was sad about his mother being ill. I think she was quite a senior, and, you know, we all have to go. But he was able to bury her. And that's so much better than have a mother having to bury a child. So that I know that it brought him some comfort to know that he was there for his mother. So that made me, you know, feel good that she was not around when he left. So I just wanted to throw that in. But in his talk to the missions, you know, to those of us who attended that event, and I think it was Jazz in the Plaza, that he at the time, you know, he was really, really focused on not only the importance of the children being educated, but the importance of the teachers of the children being educated. Because, you know, it's more than just the words or the subject that he says is important when you're dealing with young people. It's the passion, and it's just the feeling of being appreciated and of being worthy and of being, you know, just loved. So we all need to really think about that and think, what are we giving to our children, and make sure that we deliver to them, you know, what we got when we were growing up. Because we all get so busy in this new age that, you know, everything sometimes is on the surface when it really needs to be coming from the heart. So one of the things that he mentioned in several of his writings, and he brought it up again, that, you know, education and excellence really is like long distance running rather than a sprint. You know, you have to be prepared, and you always should always be seeking excellence in whatever you do. you know, his pursuit of excellence was evident in everything he did. I remember reading something about, you know, how he would practice, you know, with his art, as a choreographer. Whatever he did would have to be done over and over and over, whether it was in his mind or in his performances, that it would just flow like a symphony, just flow. I remember asking him when I interviewed him, how would he like to be remembered? And he said, whatever way individuals want to remember him is the way he would want to be remembered. And I want to read some of what some of the people who have written about him have said in the past week. One writer said he was passionate. This was in Jamaica. I think it was the part of someone in the Jamaican government, national security person, Dwight Nelson. He said he was passionate that workers should find fulfillment. And he was convinced and transmitted the conviction that even the simplest, most ordinary worker should achieve some form of educational qualification. You know, he was concerned about the common person, because here he's talking about the simple worker being educated and qualified in what he does. Because he feels that if a person does a good job, they are proud of themselves. And the feeling of accomplishment is so important. You know, feeling good about yourself is so important. So he was such a well-rounded person who, you know, who thought of everything. At least that's what I'm finding out as I read some of what people said about him. One writer said he was simply the best, better than all the rest. Now, he was also involved, I don't know if any of our listeners know this, but he was very involved in the trade union movement. And most people know of him, you know, as a lecturer and vice chancellor, retired from the University of the West Indies. And I read, when I was doing his bio, I know he had something like 17 honorary degrees from universities all over the world. But I noticed in my research that in 1999, a writer wrote about him, and at that time he had 21 honorary awards. This is from Jamaica. Different awards in Jamaica. 21 of them in 1999. Now, as he matured, his energy never waned, and his passion for what he loved, what he did, never waned. You know, he was still very involved in the choreography of the dance theater movement. He was very involved in, like, fundraising. He was at a fundraiser in Washington, you know, when he collapsed. And I thought, excuse me, that was quite ironic. And I know that his work and all the things he has done for the culture will go on for generations. Because, you know, a lot of times people, when they're alive, he was a very humble man. As a matter of fact, when people called him an icon, he didn't consider himself an icon. One writer says, and I'm going to read, the late Professor Nettleford did not consider himself an icon. He said, now that the time has come to pay tribute to this truly amazing Jamaican-born scholar, teacher, cultural activist, naturalist, historian, and author, to mention but a few of his attributes, the word icon does seem insufficient. It is original in its original definition. An icon is a treasured religious object. In contemporary times, it is also defined as one having some well-known significance or embodying certain qualities. Rex Nettleford was all that and more, whether he cared to admit it or not. Now, it is so true because, you know, I found him to be a very humble person who perhaps just didn't know what all this big deal was about. But his eloquence, I mean, the words just flew right off of his tongue. And, you know, most times, you know, people, even people that are good talkers would stumble, not him. It just sort of was just flowing out. And again, I'm asking all listeners that may have a comment or just want to express the way they feel about any of these two men to raise your hands by hitting one on your keypad so I'll know that I'll open up the mic and welcome you on the show. And I want to remind our listeners that you're listening to Backyard Labrish on Blog Talk Radio, and we're here each Wednesday at 8 o'clock labrishing about whatever. And tonight we're celebrating the rich, rich life of two Trelawney statesmen who made their transition and left a mark on not only Jamaica, the Caribbean, but the world. And we really, really will continue to celebrate them for generations to come. But more than anything, I want to encourage our listeners online or those who may come by after to keep in mind what these men were passionate about. And in whatever way you can encourage or support, that will continue their legacy. So we can continue to support them even after they've left us. And isn't that a wonderful thing? You know, Professor Nettleford has several books. I think Huey penned some books too, I'm not sure. But I know that several of the professor's books are available on Amazon. So for you readers, and it might be good to share some of this with your children, you know, some of his work in work that he penned with your teenagers, or, you know, it might make a good gift for a young person, because there are just so much examples of, you know, striving for excellence and being focused and just being the best that you can be. I remember he and I talking about the memory gems that we did in the old days. I don't know if they're still doing it now. But, you know, he would come up in the category of good, better, best. Never let it rest until your good be better and your better, best. So he was the epitome of that because he continued to refine his art, you know, of speaking, of his choreography, of just being involved. You know, I don't know how he did so many different things all at the same time. You know, it was amazing when I read of all the things that he was involved in. But most of all, the amount of lives that he touched in different ways. You know, there are people who might not be very intellectual, but they're artistic. He was both. So there are people that I'm sure he has affected in the field of art that may not be readers, or may not read his books, or even adhere to his political views, but he touched them in a different way. There are many people that I've read that talked about him in many, many different ways. Some people were touched by his humility. Some people were touched by his eloquence, the way he spoke. Others were touched by how he came from a humble start to be known all over the world. You know, some people who interviewed him even asked how he did it. And his answer was always, you know, he wasn't doing it to be famous. He was doing it to be the best that he could be, whatever they were giving him accolades for. You know, it's just his passion for excellence, to me, is what I found most striking. Whatever you do, you know, make sure that you do it to the best of your ability. And as I mentioned, he even talked about a worker, you know, in whatever category they're working in, that they should know what they're doing so they can do it in a way that it brings them satisfaction, so they can be proud of themselves for a job well done. And that's what I read in that statement that minister made about, you know, what he said about the common worker. But back to what excerpts from his speech to the Benevolent Missions of Atlanta's guests when he came for their fundraiser in April of last year. He says, if we are because we think, we also exist because we feel. And no one knows this better than the young. So it's important for us to help them think, because that will make them feel. And when a person feels good about themselves, I think that they will do more good than harm or evil. And when you think of what's happening in a lot of the society, not just in Jamaica, but all over the world with young people, and as Jamaicans, we're more focused, not more focused, but we tend to think more of what is happening in Jamaica with the young people. And a lot of it could be considered very negative. But if we continue to just think about it in a negative way, then we'll figure that there's nothing we can do. So I am asking people in the diaspora and our listeners to start to reverse that, and let's start thinking, because this is one way we can help to celebrate the legacy of these two great men that have blessed the planet while we're here, is to do whatever we can to help the young people to think so they can feel. And one way we can do that is to support something that encourages young people. And whatever city you may be in, I know that there are children with of Jamaican heritage or Caribbean or just children that you can do something for, whether it's encouraging them or volunteering for something, or just helping if you can do so financially or with a good word or with a help to the parent or an encouragement to the parent or whatever. We will be helping to celebrate the legacy of these two great sons of Trelawney. So unless I have a raised hand, I am going to be, we have a couple of minutes, and I would like for some of our listeners, if you'd like, to weigh in on this celebration of life for these two gentlemen. I don't know if there's anyone online that have had an experience of being in their presence or know of them or has in any way been impacted by anything they did or said that would like to share that information with the world. I ask you to just put your hand up. The board is full, but everybody is silent, and you can't be shy now. But another quote from the excerpts of his speech here, he mentioned that a society that is its citizens who yield in, he was talking about, you know, Jamaica or the rest of the world just being focused on high productivity, you know, just producing for financial reasons. And what he's addressing here is the fact that, you know, we have to be, it's just what we do has to be for more than money. And most, I've read most of his writings, it was important to him for Jamaican culture to be preserved and people to be proud of who they are and where they are, really. But in this, he said that we cannot just focus on productivity just for money. We have to also produce feelings of community, the importance of working together, and the, really being the best that we can be. So with that said, we have a few more minutes before we sign off the air. We're here for an hour tonight. And I would like for someone to put their hands up. I see none of my regular fans are on. And the rest of are my fans that have hung with me since I've started are too shy to put their hands up. But I want to thank everybody for being here. And I ask you to come often and invite your friends to come and share with us. Next week, it's really History Month in Jamaica. And we're going to be doing some things about our history. My screen just went blank. So I think my light, I hope I'm still broadcasting, but we're having a little technical difficulty here in my city tonight, and I just lost my screen. I know we had some time on, and I'm still going to keep talking just in case. But if you have a hand up, I can't see you. Okay, my screen is back. I'm telling you, this high-tech age that we live in, you know, you never know what's going to happen, but I love it. It's great. And for the seniors who might be a little intimidated by all this technology, I can only encourage you to embrace it and use it as much as you can because, you know, I keep telling people I lost so much when I had a house fire. But I will be forever live in cyberspace because of this broadcast. So I invite you to use the technology because it's the way of the future. So let me just end by saying that I think that people in the diaspora, even though you're not, I have no intentions of going back to Jamaica to reside. The love that I feel, and I've spent more time, more of my life as in a foreign country than I did when I grew up there. You know, I've been here a long time. But now that I'm retired, my quest for learning things that I didn't learn when I was in school is just enormous. I just don't have enough time to research everything. And I, you know, we've been fortunate to have people who are doing a lot of research. And I feature them. And I must say that the Glina Company has done a wonderful job with pieces of the past. So if you have not visited that their link on pieces of the past yet, I encourage you to do it, because we use their material a lot of times, and they have just wonderful nuggets of wisdom that, and this is all documented to be truth. You know, it's not like people just writing a blog or writing their opinion. And also a lot of work that has been brought to us by Dr. Joy Lumsden, who is a research fanatic, and she's putting a lot of pieces together from different documentation. And most of her work is online, too. So with that, I want to encourage our listeners to keep tuned in. Next week, we're going to be discussing something historic that went on. And I am going to start featuring a person of the week, because there are lots of things going on now that we can celebrate here in the backyard. There's been quite a few, even with the earthquake, there's one of our local scientists that predicted that something was going to be happening, you know, and it did. Fortunately, it did not happen in Kingston. And I just want to remind our listeners, you know, that we still need to be in prayer and also do whatever we can to help our brothers and sisters and the children of Haiti. And I remind people that, you know, we can get very creative. With this economy, nobody has a lot of money lying around. But, you know, we have white elephants around our house that we can perhaps have a garage sale and sell for a few bucks, or, you know, do something that we can find a couple of dollars to donate to whatever cause we want. But now, you know, the children of the world, all over the world, are hurting. They really are. Mostly because most people don't have the amount of money that they could before, you know, 2-3 years ago when things were different. So we all have to get very creative if we are passionate about something. And I am guessing that most of the people who enjoy this show or come by to visit us are passionate about our culture and want to celebrate, enlighten, and preserve like I do. So I encourage you to become creative. And do let me know, you know, if you're enjoying the Labrish, and also if you would like to be part of the Labrish. We do have a website, which is www.backyardlabrish.com. So you can go there and leave us a comment. And you can do it on the Backyard Labrish site also. But I wanted to end by saying something that Judith Palmer, who is a writer, wrote about Rex. She said here, in my opinion, a brilliant scholar, a compassionate and strong-willed artistic director, as well as one of the world's few existing custodians of the cultural heritage of Africa's Caribbean diaspora. Nettleford describes Jamaica as a diaspora containing many diasporas, as everybody is part this and part that, but totally Caribbean. The white people are niggerfied and the black people are Europeanized. Nettleford says that his view has not changed since he started his company, his dance company. He continues to work with cross-fertilization and says his new artistic products become classic after being worked and reworked until there is a sense of inner harmony that cannot be bettered. This is what I mean by striving for the best. Now, those were using his words. He was very eloquent with words. How he placed them together and how he used them to describe what he wanted to convey. I just find him very, very fascinating. And I hope that our listeners will find some information about him that perhaps they will find quite as interesting as I have. But I want to thank everybody for being here and ask you to come back next week. And if you're not on my mailing list, would you please go to the backyardlabrish.com and make a comment or send me your information so I can put you on my list. And if you are on the list, we ask you to spread the word to your friends and relatives who might have an interest in being with us here in the backyard. You know, they don't have to be here in person every week because they can listen to any show. They're all archived. Just go to any month. If you go to the side of the Blog Talk website, when you get on Backyard Labrish, you'll see all our shows there. And, you know, every week we have a show. So there's lots to listen to. There's lots to catch up on. And if you know a particular show may be interesting to a particular person, all you have to do, if you're not very technical, you click on that show, then make a copy of the address, the web address, and then you can send that particular link to the party that you think it may interest. So with that said, I want to thank you for being here and to thank you for celebrating with me these two wonderful sons of Trelawney. So if you are from Trelawney, you should feel very proud, although we're saddened by their departure. What a legacy they've left that makes us so proud. And, you know, whenever anything negative comes up about our island or about our parish or, you know, or about just the Caribbean in any way, just think of all the positive things, all the wonderful things that Jamaicans have left and people from the Caribbean have left the world, the entire world. The world has been a better place because these two men were in it. So I know I feel privileged to have shared the planet at the same time with them because I'm not much younger than either of them were. And I am celebrating that right now. So although we are saddened, we're also joyful. So with that, I want to say good night and thank you so much for being in the backyard. And do come back next week. And as I always say, make it a great week. Bye.